Joe, he asked me if there's anything on my heart to share along with our presentation. And this is I've been wanting to talk about the story of Matthew for a while, and just his just immediate obedience to what God called him to do in that moment to follow Jesus. So it just kind of resonates where I am, where we are as a family, and I hope it resonates with someone today. And he gave me a kind of a title to this, and it's that we are all called. So it's our calling, and we are. We're all called to something. So I just want to read this. So we're only going to be in a couple of verses right now. I'll reference a couple of others, and I promise I know our presentation went long, and I'll try to get through this. But I feel we need to hear the word and respond to it today. So again, this is in Matthew chapter 9, and this is the section where Jesus called him. We just saw the video. I think that's just a beautiful picture of physically seeing that. I really feel that's probably exactly the way that happened. I mean, he just put everything down. He walked out. And then just the boldness to literally just tell that soldier to back off. And that's who I'm going with. So I'm just going to read these few verses right here. And then I just want to talk about a few points after that. So Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, as Jesus passed on from there, so he had just healed a paralyzed man, so he's doing miracles through Capernaum, and he's moving around through the city there, and I'm sure Matthew has already seen some of this or at least heard about it, noticed some of these things that are happening. So in chapter 9, verse 9, it says, as Jesus passed from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me, and he rose and followed him. And then the best part, I think, even after that, it says, and Jesus reclined at a table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. So I think that's a beautiful picture. Like, Matthew actually became, in my mind there, he became an evangelist immediately right after that, because he hosted all these tax collectors in his house with Jesus and the disciples right after that. So again, I just want to break this down a little bit. So again, most of y'all are probably familiar with the background of Matthew. So he comes from a well-educated, he knew his numbers. He had very well trained in scribing, doing ledgers, things like that. So for him to be called by the Roman government to work with him was a big deal. And he said he was one of the best Jews to be able to do that for them. So, but comes along with that is he's an outcast within his own people. The Jews, the Jewish people did not like that one bit. Because he was making money off of them. So he grew up in the Jewish culture, but again, he was an outcast within that. So they had a major problem with that. So that kind of, and again, this kind of balances back out with kind of what we're doing in Queens. That's why I kind of leaned this way a little bit, because we're working with a lot of people that would be considered an outcast. I mean, depending on what background they have, how they came here, where you stand on certain issues. I mean, there's a lot of things that culminate into probably what kind of feelings, you know, they have. So again, I see that in Matthew as well. So again, the background of that, and the first part of this scripture, and this is what I want to do, I kind of take scripture and kind of nitpick like words out of it, and it's a little bit more expository. So the first word that I pulled out of there was he saw. So he went by and he saw Matthew. And when I see that, and when I start to study where he says he sees people and he saw him, I look at that as like he's letting them know that he's there. Like, he does not forsake us. He always talks about that he doesn't leave or forsake us. So when I hear that he saw him there, that's what I resonate with. And I just want to kind of point that out to you guys. There's another disciple that he calls later, and I think that's one of the biggest things. So if you're familiar with the story of Nathaniel, where he's under the fig tree and he is just crying out to God. I mean, just crying out to be seen. And so then he crosses paths with Jesus later on. And Jesus, just by saying that I saw you under the fig tree, he immediately believed that that was the Son of God and the Messiah. So just the fact that, I mean, that presence and knowing that he is there. So again, that's the first part that I pulled out of that he saw Matthew. He knew Matthew, and I think Matthew knew that as well when he made eye contact with him. Again, he knew all the things that were probably going on in the city. He knew this. There was a pretty good chance that this was the Messiah. But then when he was called by name there at the tax booth, that was the turning point for Matthew. So that's when it goes on into, okay, so now he calls him. So he says, follow me. And I think we can just quickly just run right past that and not realize, I mean, what do we really have to give up to follow something, to follow after Christ with everything that we have? So, and I just want to give a little background, I mean, how that kind of transpired with us. I mean, like, it took me probably a year before I finally just fully surrendered to the calling that we had to move to New York. Kendall came to me, and it was probably, I know you knew, and I knew too, but I was very much probably like a Matthew, very literal, I start very logical. I start thinking about all the scenarios, what could go wrong, what could go right. Do I want to leave my family? Do I want to leave everything I've known, what I was comfortable with? But it finally came to a point, and it took somebody praying boldly, and I've shared this a bunch of times, but Kendall prayed a bold prayer about that one day, and with that, so the friend in Jackson Heights, had not spoken to him in a while, and she prayed that morning and just asked if there was any reason we should be going or doing anything with that to let us know, and he called me that afternoon, and I had not talked to him in years. So, I mean, it was a complete God, divine moment for me. And I need those things. I need those big moments for God to show up. That's how I move forward. So, again, I'm not trying to get jumbled up here, but I just want you to know that, I mean, we've got to be bold. But, again, I think the power of God and power of Jesus can do that for us in that moment. I think when you start just running after him and you can be a lot more bold in those steps and in those callings on your life. And so he left everything in obedience, Matthew did. So we see that, he dropped everything. So I just want to pose the question for us this morning, what is it that keeps us from being obedient when God calls us? Again, is it family? Is it wealth? I mean, he gave up everything money-wise. To go after Jesus, but he became extremely spiritually rich. Is it just comfort? But the beauty of that, and again, I don't want to take up a ton of time, but the beauty of that is he follows Jesus now through his ministry for that one moment, you don't get a whole lot of history of kind of Matthew before that. There's just not a lot. When I started studying, there's not a lot about that. When he gets called and he moves forward, now because of that obedience, we have this first gospel recollection of the life of Jesus in Scripture. Now he's the one. Did y'all notice when he said you may need that book later on, you know, to write it? Because he was the one that wrote everything down that Jesus did. So now we had accounts from Jesus's birth all the way through parables when he was tempted to. The Beatitudes. I mean, we have all this stuff that guides us for everything we need in life, and it came from just that simple, probably about a five-minute situation that happened when he was called and he was obedient. And but he took that. Also, he had strengths. He probably had issues with some of the disciples going forward. So, but he used that strength to follow Jesus and to just write down everything, and it just gave us a beautiful account of what that looks like. And so again, he followed Jesus through the rest of his ministry. He wrote down everything, and it just gives us that good news of Jesus that we need. So what is God calling us to right now? That's kind of the next question I want to pose to us. I mean, first thing, I mean, it's got to start with a relationship with him. That's always the first calling on our lives is we've got to enter into a relationship with him. So I broke it down into two firsts. So the The main thing is the first commandment, that we've got to love him with everything. So, and the next one is the Great Commission. Then we go and make disciples. So it all starts with our relationship with God first. And love is the key. So he kind of gave this to me and kind of broke it down. So if we think about this, we know God is love, right? God is love. So if we know Jesus is God in the flesh, so I'm just kind of tearing this because I think some people think we just can't love like God loves when we need to. And that's really the only way to, I think, accomplish ministry the way it should be done. And so if we believe that and we know Jesus is God in the flesh and we know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that indwells us, then we should recognize that we have God's love in us. So we just have to rest in that, tap into that, and then, again, just continue to grow in our relationship with him, like you see through the whole book of Matthew that he did, and we got that account of that. So, again, I feel like I'm speeding through this. I'm sorry. I just feel that there's probably somebody in here or multiple people that either need to be obedient to what God's calling on their life or maybe just take that first step in being obedient to entering into a relationship with him. And that's what God kind of just impressed on me before coming here, and I wanted to make sure I tried to lay that out there and show the obedience of Matthew in that and what that looks like in our lives. I hope we can be an example of that as well, to be Jesus, because we're continually trying to be like Jesus more and more each day. And he has called us to a certain ministry. He's called others to certain ministries. Everybody's going to have a little bit different niche there, and that's the way it works. But I just want to challenge everybody, okay, what does that look like in your life? Is there something that you're just not following hard after? Is there something that you're just trying to hold on a little too tight that you're not giving up so you can really follow and really just experience everything that God has for you and what he's truly called you to do? So that was kind of the quick rundown of my message. I know we went long with the other, but I want to enter into a time now where we can respond. And again, I know that was really fast, but I want us to give us the opportunity to respond. And whether we need to pray and see what God has for us next steps as a believer, but also if you are not a believer, if there's somebody that just needs to respond in faith this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to pray right now, and then after we have a time of that, then I'll let Pastor Joe come back up and finish it out. So, dear God, we just come before you right now, and God, I just pray that I was just able to get out of the way, and hopefully the words and the message got through. I know what you wanted me to say. God, and I just pray for each one here in this room right now. Whatever's going on in each of their lives right now, whether they just need to encourage people, whether they just need to keep doing what they're doing and just praise you for that, if there's something that needs to change in their lives to know that they can just follow hard after you. As we see, there's the account in Matthew where he was able to finally get to the point where we know it's the gospel, we know it's the good news, and when he gets to the point of that everlasting salvation that we have in you through Jesus and what he did on the cross and through that resurrection, God, I pray that's what we all come to realize and accept through faith in you. So I pray for that for everyone in here right now, God, that that we continue to grow in our relationship with you, or for the first time enter into that relationship with you. And I pray that each of us are obedient to go and share it with others and get excited about it as well. And we just love you so much, and we pray all of this right now in Jesus' name. So, are you going? So we're going to have a song, and if you want to respond and come down and pray, or if you need somebody to pray with, I'll pray with you, or Pastor Joe will pray with you. We'll just give you a chance to do that right now.
This is Broken Vessels, Amazing Grace by Hillsong. So you guys sing this with us, please. All these pieces broken and scattered, and mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free. I've been set free. Take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to I
Just another minute. I'm going to ask our deacons to come. We're going to take up a love offering this morning. We're going to take up a love offering for the Adamson family and missionary work to Queens, New York. You know, what's amazing when you listen to the presentation is all the different countries in the world that are represented there. Question, you say, well, is God calling me? He called Matthew, but is God really calling me? Reading this week's scripture in the book of Acts, where Paul passed by on Mars Hill. And as he passed by, he found altars to all different kind of gods. Many different gods, one even to the unknown God. And he spoke to the people and he said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're too superstitious. But he's basically saying you're too religious. Said there was a time when God winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men means all, everywhere means everywhere, to repent. So how does God speak to people? Every time the sun rises, God is calling somebody. Every time the sun sets. Every time a baby is born and you look into his eyes, the first time God is speaking. See, the Bible says in another place that God left himself not without witness, and that he gave us the times and the seasons. So you don't have to be in a Baptist church or a church about like ours to be able to say that, well, there's God that's speaking to me. You wouldn't have the breath you have if God wasn't good to you. Now, I believe God's calling. He's calling, and he's calling. But I'll say this. I believe the time's getting closer. We're going to take up this offering, and we want, if you've got something you'd like to give, we want to be a blessing to them. The church has prepared something. But we'd like to be able to do just a little bit more. God amazes me the way he works in this church. And we want to give him the glory. So let's pray. God bless this offering. God bless these people. Bless Justin and Kendall, Lord, and their children and they as they go and work for you. That they would be able to present the gospel. That someone would be able to receive it. And Lord, as they are transient, often move around. As the scripture says, in the last days, many will run to and fro. That word would be carried. And Lord, that you would be honored and glorified by it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.